You're listening to the Cross Brand Sunday Morning Service on HLE Radio. Now here is Pastor Mike Morrow with today's message.
Ephesians. If you got your Bibles, turn over to Ephesians chapter 6. That's where we are today. And this is just simply going to be a balance, I hope a good balance, of both the theological perspective on fatherhood as well as a practical, basically, this is what I did that was wrong, and so I'm going to talk to you dads today. I know y'all have heard that I don't ever schedule sermons around dates on the calendar, but I'm telling you, there's just so much stuff that's bothered me lately about fathers and fatherhood, stuff that's bothered me about my own parenting in the past. And so pastors that try to cover all the fathers, I think that's pretty dangerous because let's face it, some of you had terrible relationships with your dads and you've struggled with that for years. And so what I would like to focus on is you daddies right now and you plan, and those of you that are going to plan on being a daddy. Can I do that? All right, that's good because I ain't got time to change it. This is one of those days where it'll be have a somber tone at times because I know some of you don't have a father in your life. Listen, if you're a caregiver, a grandparent, a granddaddy, if you're an uncle, if you are a friend of the family and you've had to step up and be the masculine Christian role in that kid's life, good. That's why it's tricky. That's why this topic is so tricky. If you're a divorced mom, you've had to step up. If you've got a deadbeat for an ex-husband, you've had to step up and fulfill both of the roles, which I cannot imagine how tough that must be. I admire you single parents, especially single mamas. But I can't cover every base today, but I can just give you a few things to think about. If you're currently a daddy and if you are currently thinking about becoming a father, I pray that you will just be open-minded to what I got to say today. First thing I want to do is take you to something that Paul said. Now look, it was hard to be a Christian daddy in the city of Ephesus. It was very difficult. It was a very ungodly city. Lots of opportunities to make some really, really bad choices, even as a Christian. But the Apostle Paul is going to address marriage in the previous chapter, and then we come over to Ephesians 6, and he said, hey, kiddos, obey your parents in the Lord, because it is right. All right, now, if you're a kid and you think this is pointed at you today, do this. Whew, you're off the hook. I ain't talking to you today. I'm talking to your daddy. Honor your daddy and mama, which is the first commandment, with a promise so that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. Here it comes. Brace for impacts, Dad. And I'm not here to make you feel guilty. I'm here to get your attention. Hey, daddies, don't stir up anger in your children. Do we need to dismiss service right now? But bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. If you'll just understand that I've done some really dumb things. Oftentimes, my dumb things were centered around machinery, which I should never be able to get around. I have been banned from several pieces of equipment at my house. And if it's a hay baler, I'm good with that. But I can remember doing some of the dumbest things, and now my kids are going, no, Dad, yes, that was dumb, but we're so glad you did it. To see the look on your face when you grabbed hold of that electric fence and couldn't turn loose of it was priceless to us. And I want everybody to bear witness to this. This is why my kids are never speaking at my funeral. Because it'll be a celebration of life. No, it'll be a celebration of dumb things Mike Morrow did in his life. And so looking at that from that perspective, I've done so much wrong. I've tried to go back, and the Lord has tried to help me recall things that I've needed to apologize for, and I hope I have, and I still have to, recall some of those things. The text, though, let's talk about the text. And I'm gonna try real hard, Cody, because you sent me that dadgum article. I'm going to try to get through this real quick. What is that first word in verse 4? Not a trick question. Fathers. What is a father? What is a woman? What is a man? Father. There is a description there that is pretty clear. Listen, in this day and age of confusion and gender fluidity and all of these other things, it is 100% he's talking to the male in the home. Is that right, Matt? Help me out. I mean, did I miss something here? Is that, do we redefine that term? No, we do not redefine that term. You know why we can't redefine that term? The fact that there are two sexes, even if you struggle with same-sex attraction or something like that, I'm telling you that is God's ultimate plan, and it should never be altered. Man and woman. Cody gave me this dadgum article that stirred me up so bad this week, I couldn't drink caffeinated coffee for 4 days. You know what the name of the article is? It's called The Emasculated Church. I saw it in the 90s, this article prompted me to remember a few things, but I saw it in the 90s and 2000s where the churches kind of took a turn. Remember that, Cody? Kind of took a turn to a little bit more feminized approach to ministry. Now, you know why? Because during that time, according to the article, it was just females that were coming to church. So they had to filter all their music around females. Females typically are emotional people. Males are, we're just punks. Could I get an amen from any female? Except that side of the room. And I noticed it. I'd go to camp and guys would show up and I'm going, I'm not going to judge you, because to be masculine, you don't have to be a muscle man. I hope that's okay, John. I mean, you know, you and I are. We buff. I really am. Because my daughter went to West Texas A&M. You know what their mascot is? Buffs. Buffaloes. I'm a buff dad. Huh? Huh? Come on, Chris. Track me here, brother. Okay. You know why a lot of men love Crossbrand? Because you can still be a man here and not apologize for it. Okay? And men were born protectors. Men were born hunters and providers. And yes, when you show up at Crossbrand, yet because of the masculinity here, there are times when maybe if there's a disagreement, it usually ends up in the parking lot in a fist fight. But at the same time, and that's not true, guys. That only happens like once a month. The point is I just wish you could take a moment to understand the gravity of this. Fathers, that's the masculine spiritual leader of the home. He says this. Next word, take it apart, is don't provoke. What does that mean? Well, we provoke our kids in lots of ways, but here are some of the top reasons our kids get angry, get resentful, get bitter, get estranged from us, is because sometimes fathers show favorites. I gotta be honest with you, it was really hard. I went from two boys to a baby girl. Blonde hair, blue eyes, said dad, dad. When she first started talking, she was different. Stinky boys. So, you know, but sometimes it's very clear. That happened to Joseph in the Old Testament, favoritism, very clear. Broken promises, don't spend time with them. We over-discipline. Yes, you can do that, especially if the dad has got anger issues. You can incorrectly discipline. Yes, there is a right and a way to discipline. I did it wrong for a long time. There's unreasonable demands and this hypocritical behavior in our personal life that our kids see. And trust me, they know. Your mama knows. Your kids know, and your spouse knows if you're a hypocrite. And we all have hypocritical behavior at some point, but that going unconfessed is a provocation for some kids. Anger. All right, now look. When your kid, listen to me, Daddy. When you discipline your child, they're going to get mad at you. But they're mad for the right reason. In Scripture, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul talks about being angry and sin not. I understand that you discipline them. But when we provoke them to anger, that is a bad anger. A bad anger. That drives them to be bitter, resentful, questioning, then we have gone and indirectly promoted. We can't cause anybody else to sin. I can't cause my kids to sin or my grandkids, but I can dang sure improve the chances of them going a different way. It says this, bring. In that particular verse, bring. Bring up a kid. And so, you know, that's cherish and nourish, but I just need you to understand this. That word bring, it, you know what it means in the Greek? Bring. Anytime I bring you something, that's active. That's not passive. It's intentional. In other words, as a daddy, we have got to be very, very intentional about bringing them up. You cannot throw that bumper sticker away. Let go and let God handle my kids. Bull honky. The Lord told me in Ephesians, hey, Dad, you bring them up. And then it goes on to talk about the other ways we're going to bring them up. This word, particular word, discipline there, can really mean two things. Number one, it means accountability. God holds us accountable. He is a good daddy, like the song says. But he has to hold us accountable from time to time. And we will have to hold our kids accountable. It makes me sick when some of you daddies have decided somewhere along the way that your child is as smart as you at 12 or 13 years old. No, sir, they only think that. And some of them are darn convinced. It is your responsibility during that developmental time is to hold them accountable. Please reconsider being their friend. And how about this? How about you be their daddy? How about you be their father? Can we be friends? My kids and I are friends now. But I always kind of held back on that concept while they were still under 18 that I have got to be dad. But it also not only includes accountability, it also includes developing patterns of spiritual disciplines. Developing patterns of spiritual disciplines. That's dad, hey, teach them how to pray. Teach them how to read scripture. And in teaching them, you're going to have to buy them different Bibles. That big family Bible, do not make them bring that to church. They're going to have back problems for the rest of their life. Church engagement tells us to bring them up, instruct them. That's the other word in this particular scripture. Instruction is, the parenting biblically involves what y'all used to do in kindergarten. Show and tell. Biblical instruction, guys, it's not that hard. It's show and tell. It's show them Jesus in your life and show them how he fits into their life. But also, it is you, when a kid thinks about a Christian, not a perfect person, I hope that they'll think about you, Dad. If you're not on their list, their top five list of images of Christians in their life, then something's wrong. And you want me to get real pushy? I would encourage you to repent. Somewhere along the way, you have lost your ability to be salt and light that we find in Matthew chapter 5. Not only that, telling them. There is a, not a description, but a prescription. In Scripture, there's descriptions and prescriptions. A description doesn't mean we have to do it. A prescription says we got to do it. And so in this particular passage, look what it says in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7. Repeat them what? God. Talk about him. Talk about his word. Talk about when you sit in your house, when you walk along the road. That's going to rodeos and baseball games right there. Turn your stupid devices off and be a godly father. Ask them what should have been done. What do they think about this? What do they think about what they're hearing on the news? And when you lie down, that's before they go to bed. And when they get up in the morning, You repeat. And then the last thing is in that particular scripture in Ephesians 6, we know it's intentional, but look at the last part of that particular scripture. It says, don't stir up your kids to anger, raise them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Some particular passages says comes from the Lord. That's two things. When we are parenting, the first thing on our mind should be parent from a scriptural reference point. Because your kid is going to walk in with some of the most God-awful questions. Hey, Dad, kids are having a sleepover on Friday night. Can I? No! Well, you didn't even hear them out. You're right. I don't know those people. Quit trusting everybody your kids trust. You hear me? Could I get an amen from somebody? Am I just... All right. Be the dad. Be the masculine spiritual leader. Be the first line of defense on the satanic attacks that are inevitably going to happen to your kids. And let me just make a few observations. I'm not going to get finished today. We were supposed to talk about demons, which would have been appropriate for some of you fathers. We'll head back on demons next week. I just actually made eye contact with one of my kids, and I don't appreciate the way they looked at me when I said that statement. Let me just make a few. This is the practical part of this, and I'm not an expert on parenting. Nope, it's not my degree. If we could get a degree for the amount of mess-ups we had, I'd have a doctorate in it. But I can say this, there's a lot of dads that assume kids share their values about spiritual things, and I'm saying, unfortunately, that's not. When it comes to your kid and how they feel about smoking weed, legalizing recreational use, do they have the same values as you do? When they talk about this, you know, the whole thing about not having sex before marriage, I don't know where that went. It's actually in Scripture. Imagine that. That was sarcasm. It is so uncommon now for people to wait until they're married to have sex. And in your mind, you just think, well, they know it. They grew up in it. That's not the way parenting works. They don't get it stuffed by osmosis. They cannot read your mind. And Dad, I'm going to tell you how they feel about abortion, how they feel about same-sex attraction. You, Daddy, need to be having that conversation with them. And there's a right way and a wrong way to have the conversation. A lot of dads think attending church on Sundays is enough. It ain't. You got to be intentional. At the same time, many parents have made church involvement a low priority now. There are many parents that have just simply, they're more interested in their kid being a celebrity roper or baseball star or dance, whatever, than they are that person growing up and being a solid follower of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you what, in 20 years, it ain't going to stinking matter. If you lose them, None of the accolades and none of the awards are going to matter. Huh. Didn't like that one. And I tell you what, a lot of dads, you don't have any idea how many voices are speaking into these kids' life. They can go on TikTok and in 30 seconds be a great theologian. I see some of the most ridiculous stuff on there, but I ain't going to delete it because I can't keep up with your dumb post. I'm on TikTok because I like to see people do dumb stuff on horses that they should not be doing. Religion, porn, please, are you paying attention to their tablets, cell phones, and laptops? If you are not intentional, Daddy, you will be the smallest voice in their life if you're not intentional. Smallest voice. I'll tell you something else. Could I be real personal more than I've been? I'm going to share some things that are from my heart that, boy, if I could do different, I would do different. Some of y'all ain't going to listen. Some of y'all are saying we're doing all right. Look, Galatians 5, if you want to know if your kids are doing all right, look up the fruits of the Spirit. Who has control of their life? You can impact that. You can influence that. They're going to make their own decisions. But listen, daddies, you can impact that. And I will tell you, I wish I'd have been a better husband. One of the greatest gifts you can give to your kids, especially your boys, and I just probably shouldn't have said that, but especially your boys, is to show them how to love a woman. What was that Lines movie with Robert? What? Secondhand Lines. Favorite part in the movie? Well, there's a lot of favorite parts in the movie. One was when he beat the dickens out of all those young guys at the bar. The other was when they was flying upside down. But the other was his description of the one woman that he loved more than anything. That was one of the greatest lines in any modern movie I've ever seen. Love their mama. You people that insist on airing out your dirty laundry in front of your kids, I plead with you to stop. Do your kids need to see you are imperfect sometimes? Absolutely. But there's a right way and a wrong way and a time and a place to have a conversation. And I pray you will not do it in front of your kids. Love your spouse. Number two, I encourage you daddies to understand, and I can help you if you want to talk to me, there's got to be a balance of grace and truth. We're never going to be perfect like Jesus, but Jesus was the epitome of the balance of grace and truth. In other words, Jesus held people accountable, but he did it with all the love that he could have as the Son of God. You realize, dads, especially you dads that have young kids, if you're trying to parent all of your kids in the same manner, you're stirring a recipe for disaster. Each kid is going to have their own personality. I mean, just look at your kids when it comes to disciplining them. I could look at my daughter and she'd melt. I could look at McCall and he'd come at me. There is no such thing as a cookie-cutter discipline, and I pray that you'll pray in regards to the manner in which you should do that. Number four, I would pray you daddies parent with Jesus as a reference point. Jesus as a reference point. That's what I call gospel-centered parenting. I need to ask the question in my life, and even now with grandkids, do they see me as a father, masculine, spiritual leader, that lives my life in as best as I can to promote Jesus in their life. But I say this at baby dedications, and I don't mean to sound like a broken record. Your job as a dad is to create an environment in that home where that kid can find Jesus early. Listen, I know it's up to them. They got free will when it comes to this. But after your kid reaches the age of about 17 or 18, the chances of them accepting Christ fall dramatically. And this is science. Statistically speaking, the majority of people come to faith, they do it preteens and early teens. And it's going to be very difficult to overcome the voices that they hear in their life as an 18-year-old. But know this, in your family, dad, granddaddy, uncle, you're one generation away from losing your family legacy. One generation away. Dad, if you slack up, if you do it in moderation, if you give them just a little Jesus, let me tell you what they're going to give. No Jesus. We're one generation away. Who's that? And you know what? I want to say it's going to be mine and your fault. I do believe in free will, but I do believe the parent is God's way of instructing and disciplining and growing that child up, especially the daddies. It's your job. Don't lose a generation. And then we got this, two more. If I could have done this different, and preachers are the worst about this, I would just ask a lot of questions, and I would be doing a lot more discussions. I can remember lining my kids up one day, and I was so mad at them. We lived over Wayside at the time, It's Wood County, but and I lined them up. Somebody stole my sunglasses. I lined them up and I absolutely gave them fits. Wanted to know which one of them thought they had the right to interrupt my day. I'm trying to make a living. You know, you see all that. You remember. I do all this for y'all. Who's got them? Who's got my sunglasses? They were all standing at attention. There's all this tall. Macaulay raises his hand, which made me mad. I said, "What? You got them?" I said, "Dad, they're on your head." Hey guys, y'all might want to look in Scripture and see how Jesus discipled. It was discussion based. It wasn't giving them a lecture. One of the reasons kids leave the church, statistically, I don't have that data, I don't have my source in front of me, but you can check it up, check it out. One of the reasons they leave the church, and we have so many kids deconstructing, they no longer identify as a believer, because every time they ask a hard question, nobody would answer it. Nobody would attempt to. You say, "Well, I don't know the Bible." Do you know your computer? How about gotquestions.org? It's a parent's best friend. And then finally, what is it? A statement hardens the conscience. A question stirs the soul. That's not original with me. But once I heard that quote, it changed my life. So many parents are just lecturing, making these statements. And I would rather now ask questions. And let's talk about it. If I don't know the answer, I don't all the time. I'm going to find it. If I don't know the answer, I'm going to admit it. But we're going to talk about it. You know, I saw this quote one time, and Andy Stanley said, it's better to make a difference than to make a point. It's better to make a difference than it is to make a point. And one final thing that I wish I'd done better, I wish I'd have lived in a manner where my kids see all the time an authentic relationship with Jesus. I didn't. I was working two or three jobs, all these excuses. I was tired, all these excuses. Those are just excuses. And I've owned them. But I wish I would have talked more about the Lord. I wish I would have, they knew more about how I struggled and how the Lord helped me through it. Dads, I've been hard on you today. I love you. I think I may love your kids more than I love you. And that's why, Father, we got to step up. We've got to step up. There's one final thing. Craig Rochelle said this. The decisions you make today will determine the stories you tell tomorrow. And I want a good story on our kids. You shape that right now. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, its clarity, and its help. I pray this morning if there's dads here that have been struggling a little bit with parenting correctly, I ask that you will show them the right path. As our prayer partners are coming down even now, Lord, if there's somebody here that just needs, they need a leg up, they need lifted up. Whatever they're struggling with, we would have somebody pray with them. And then finally, Father, if there's someone here that doesn't have a relationship with you, I remember the prayer that Taylor Mahappy prayed this morning in our pre-church meeting. He says, just change somebody's life. And Father, that's refreshing. That's who you are. You are a way maker. You are a life changer. And we don't have to be who we were on our worst day. So today, Father, if there's someone that needs to come to you for the first time or somebody that needs to come back, I pray that either where they sit or if they want to walk down front, that you'll give them the strength to say, Jesus, I'm a mess. I am a sinner. Forgive me and change me from this day forward. In Christ's name I pray, amen.
Thanks for listening to HLE Radio, baby, located in the Christian country music capital of the world, Jennings, Louisiana, the home of Christian country, baby.